For the hymnal this morning, it's number 56, so you can stand with me as we sing "To God Be the Glory" on number 56. Pray for him as he does this message. So,
yes, we had a we were not expecting the text that we got last evening, and we're very sad to have to hear that what had been a very fun vacation, I think, for the whole family, from what I've been told by some of the kids, ended kind of the way it did for Jean. But we'll continue to pray for him and pray for a full recovery here real soon. Have you ever experienced the sensation of severe weariness? I have a feeling that Linda and Lydia are about to. But maybe it won't be too bad, but certainly it's going to be an early morning. But maybe you remember a time in your life when you deeply desired rest. Some of you, or maybe most of you by now, if you read Bethel Bits last week, know that I raise sheep, and every winter is usually late January, early February is my lambing time. last winter, this year was pretty good, but last winter, during a busy stretch of lambing, I became painfully aware that I had not slept more than 3 hours at a time for at least 8 days. I also concluded I'd averaged less than 5 hours of sleep per day during that time. And I'll admit I felt exhausted. And I really, really longed for some good rest. That first night that I got to sleep from 11 o'clock to 5:45 felt so good. But it caused me to wonder, what would be the world record for days without sleep? So I looked it up on Wikipedia. Here's what it says. The Guinness Book of World Records, in its 1978 edition, that's 1978, and you'll understand why here in a little bit, stated that the longest recorded period for which a person has voluntarily gone without sleep is 449 hours, which is 14 days, 13 hours, by Mrs. Maureen Weston of Peterborough, Cambridgeshire, England, I assume, in a rocking chair marathon on the 14th of April to the 2nd of May. From April 14th to 2nd of May, somehow that works out that way, in 1977. Now, the Guinness Book of Records has, however, withdrawn its backing of a sleep deprivation class because of the associated health risks. So that record, as far as Guinness is concerned, will stand for all time. 14 days. It makes me weary just to read about it. But despite this record, lack of sleep and lack of rest can make us life extremely difficult. And it actually makes for life-threatening situations. For people, adequate physical and emotional rest is important. And spiritual rest is what every person really needs. Yet this rest is so often lacking, even in Christians. With this in mind, let's turn in God's word, and we're going to read about what Jesus says about rest for the weary. If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it goes like this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to learn something from it today that can help us to draw closer to you, to rest in you, and to trust you with everything that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. I pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. So in this small portion, we have a direct invitation from Jesus, which he backs up with a promise. It's an invitation to those of us who are very weary and burdened, and who of us has not been weary and burdened at some time? Another translation puts it, weary and heavy laden. But it's an invitation to come to him when we are weary and burdened or weary and heavy laden. This phrase literally means to come to a point of complete exhaustion. And the promise that Jesus offers is complete rest. So the problem is complete exhaustion, and the promise is complete rest. The Greek word for this rest means to calm, comfort, and refresh. In other words, the verse could easily read like this: Come to me, all you who are at a point of complete exhaustion, and I will give you calm, comfort, and refreshment. So what do we experience that makes us so weary and burdened? That Jesus would invite us to come to him for his rest. Well, just think about it for a little bit. Because there's many things that do. He invites us to come to him as our rest from worldly cares. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will calm you in the face of those cares. That could be another way to put it. This rest from worldly cares reflects the Old Testament concept of rest as a release from the pressures and tensions of life and of the peace that follows. A little bit like the rest that is commanded in the Ten Commandments, that on 6 days you shall work, and remember the Sabbath day as a time of rest. It was a time of refreshment. So maybe you're weary and burdened by the daily grind of very normal circumstances. We all have them. Trying to make a living, paying the bills, raising our children, taking care of our aging parents, running a household, dealing with aches and pains and other issues of an aging body. All these and many others can make us feel pressured, weary, and burdened. This is not just a modern day struggle, by the way. If you want, you can turn with me to Luke 10, 38 through 42, where we'll read about a person who was under the same kind of pressure. Luke 10, 38 through 42. And this is at the home of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." If this is your situation, if you feel worried and burdened by many things, Jesus offers you a rest of calm. Or maybe you're wearied and burdened by an unexpected storm in your life. Perhaps serious illness, a bad accident, financial problems. Maybe they've left you feeling wearied and burdened. And even wondering if you're even going to survive, if survival is even possible. Even Jesus' closest companions struggled with this. In Mark 4, 35 through 39, we have the familiar account of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. If the worldly cares are making you weary and burdened, Jesus offers you a rest of calm. So first, he invites us to come to him as our rest from worldly cares. And secondly, he invites us to come to him as our rest for our souls. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's like saying, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will comfort you." I'm sure most of you know what a yoke is. It's a stout piece of wood that encircles the neck and front shoulders of a team of oxen, which allows the beast to pull or to move various heavy objects. At first glance, at first thought, it would seem that the yoke, adding a yoke to those who are already burdened, would be to add more affliction to the afflicted. But the key difference lies in what the verse says there, take my yoke upon you. The key word is my. One author I came across put it this way: Jesus is essentially saying, you are under a yoke that makes you weary. Let me release you from that yoke and try mine. And Galatians 5:1, I'll read that for you, where it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You see, we're under a yoke. Every one of us is under the yoke of sin and a slave to that. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is freeing. It frees you from the yoke of slavery. Maybe you're worried and burdened by yoke of past regrets. Perhaps you made some poor choices in your life, or maybe there are better paths that could have been followed. Studies show that having a high level of regret is a key factor in a person's emotional stability for maybe years down the road. Or maybe you're burdened by the yoke of recent loss. Perhaps death has taken a spouse or someone close to you. Maybe you have a friendship, a marriage, or another relationship that has deteriorated, even to the point of no return. Perhaps you're wearied and burdened by the yoke of the unknown future. What will the next year or more be like for you, for your family, for our society? If past regrets, recent loss, an unknown future are true struggles in your life making you weary, Jesus offers you a rest of comfort. Let's not get confused about this. It's not a life of ease, but an invitation to be yoked to him. So being yoked to Christ means to rely on him, to give him our burdens, and to accept the opportunity, the gift of walking with him side by side. It's a little bit like, picture this, it's like a sheep being yoked to an ox, if that were possible. Being yoked to Jesus gives us that access to his power, perspective, and direction as we serve him. Jesus invites us to come to him as a rest from our worldly cares, as a rest for our souls, and finally, he invites us to come to him as a rest for our sin. Another way to say it could be, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will refresh you. This means to make fresh or clean again. It's like taking and thoroughly cleansing a dirty garment so that when it's completed, it smells and feels and looks like new fabric. Jesus offers us hope and forgiveness, a rest from sin. Maybe you're wearied with the sin that you see around you in the world, and there certainly is plenty of that. Maybe it's a crime, it's the crime, or perhaps it's the many moral issues in our society that we face today. Maybe you're burdened by the sins, maybe you're burdened because these sins of how they're affecting you and your family. Sometimes being in rural Iowa, we have felt a little bit insulated from some of these things, but we see them creeping into our culture and into our area more and more. God's word tells us that while Lot was in Sodom, even as confused as he seemed to be about many things, it says in 2 Peter 2:7 that he was distressed about the filthy lives of lawless men. and you all know about Sodom. Maybe that's what you feel like sometimes. Maybe you're burdened by your own sin. Maybe these sins that no one else knows about. There are sins that no one else knows about. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." And here's the key part of this that goes with our lesson. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Coming to Jesus as our rest from sin is freedom from guilt and punishment of sin and helps motivate us for spiritual service to a sin-sick world, like going on a mission trip to Mexico or other places. If you are weary and burdened today, Jesus offers you an invitation, but it's also with a promise. If you come to me, I will give you rest, he promised. He promises. We know that he keeps his promises because his authority is emphasized in verse 27 where of our text here, where it says, in verse 27, it says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So he is, again, saying he has the authority to make those promises. Several years ago, we went to Branson, Missouri, and we were a lot younger then. Our kids were young. We were trying to go and enjoy some family time away, and we wanted to do it as inexpensively as possible. So as a result, we had found out that if we were to listen to a timeshare presentation, that they would... Okay, you're already chuckling here, so you know where I'm going. They would give us some free tickets to Silver Dollar City. What a great thing for a family. You know, just some free tickets. We save a little bit of money, and we could endure a couple-hour presentation. So we go to this presentation, and... They told us it wasn't even going to be 2 hours, but we figured, allow for time for travel and all that. So we go there, and of course, you if you've had anything to do with it, you understand the. So we start visiting with somebody, and it tells us all about the great opportunities and everything, and we say, we really appreciate that, but we're not financially ready to make that commitment today. I think we're going to have to pass. Well, let me get my boss and have him talk to you. So, of course, the boss comes, and he visits with us for a while, and he tells us about how we're missing a great opportunity and all that kind of stuff. And then we get to the, we really don't want to do that. Well, let me get my boss here. So we had to say no. And we understand. Keep us in mind and everything. If you want to just, I'll take you out to the room here and we'll get your free tickets ready and then you can be on your way. So we go out into this room, and after about an hour and a half of this back and forth, we go out to this room and it might have been more, longer than that, but we sit there and we wait. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. And after about 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes of waiting, and nobody coming with our tickets to Silver Dollar City, we look at each other and say, "I think it just will leave." So we left. They had not fulfilled their promise. Well, we survived, obviously. We survived without getting those free tickets. But it was a reminder to me that people don't always keep their promises. But God always keeps his promises. And if you are in need of rest today, he promises that if you come to him, he will give you rest. Doesn't always take things away. Doesn't always take that thing that's causing you to feel weary and burdened away. But remember what he says? He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke, because it's easy. It's light. Because I've done all the work. And we can do that, and we can trust him. So I encourage you to accept his invitation to come to him today with your weariness. Jesus will give you rest. Amen.
Thank you, Tim, for your message this morning.